The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Palmore. That's good. Amen. It's always good to hear Brother Palmore sing. I'm so glad his health is okay. That was a great concern to us, and so praise the Lord for that. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 5, of course, this is the story of Jericho. This is the story of those that walked around the wall of Jericho. And so with that in mind, I'll speak this morning on overcoming the walls of difficulty in your life. As I read just a moment ago, relatively go back to that verse, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they make long blast with the ram's horns, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Of course, this is Israel finally getting ready to enter into the Canaan land, the land of promise, and this is the very first obstacle that they come across. This is the walled city of Jericho. These walls were something to behold. And as we see that many times we have walls in our life and you get closer to them and there's something to behold. The years that we lived in New York City, oftentimes young people would come there on their junior and senior trips. And one of the things inherently that I did, that I inherited from the man that was before me, if you will, my predecessor, he was somebody that gave them tours in New York City. And so one of the things that I inherited with some youth groups that would come through from time to time is to be able to go with him on some of these tours and to be able to watch how he would give the history behind some of the buildings and stuff like that, because that's what I was going to inherit upon him resigning and moving into a different ministry. And I never forget the first time I ever saw some kids that came in from upstate New York. They lived in upstate New York in a very countryfied area. And the very first time they ever came into the city, we were in Manhattan. And the thing that amazed them was the buildings. A matter of fact, they would get almost right next to a building and they would look up to the point of almost falling backwards because of the height of the buildings. And they were amazed at the buildings. Of course, we called the Brooklyn area the concrete city. But they were actually amazed at the size of the buildings as they would look at the buildings. And can I tell you that most of the time, walls look bigger, common sense, when you're next to them. Most of the time, the closer you are to a difficulty in your life, most of the time, the closer you are to an inner problem or a challenge, if you will, maybe in your family, maybe in your business, maybe in your community, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe physically, might be something that you're facing in your life. The closer you get to that, the more difficult it becomes. And so I want to speak this morning on how to overcome those difficult walls. I want us to notice some statements. Statement number one, Israel had a huge wall to overcome. It was a huge wall. As the Israelites were getting close to the wall, you would begin to see that in this very, very old city of Jericho, around it was two walls, not just one. The outer wall, they say, was 6 foot thick. 6 foot thick and 20 feet high. That was the outer wall. The inner wall was 12 foot thick and 30 feet high. And then there was a passage that went around in between these two walls, an elevated passage where you could ride in between the walls. And in between the walls, it was 15 foot wide. So you could take two chariots, if not three, depending on the size of the chariots, and you would be able to ride those chariots side by side on the inner side or on the inner core or inner level of those two walls. And so this was a massive structure. This was not something when you hear about the walls of Jericho falling down. This is not something where you think, okay, there's about a 6 foot wide wall and all of a sudden it just toppled. It was just one wall and that was it. No, this was a massive, massive structure. A matter of fact, it was so massive that people thought that it was impenetrable. They thought there's no way that the enemy would ever be able to penetrate the walls. And isn't it neat how God made the walls to simply fall down? So they're falling from the top down. No, nobody did penetrate the side of the wall, but God is the one that can take a wall that's in your life and crush it simply to the ground. Okay? And you notice it went from the top down. And so God is the one that just took that wall completely down. But how is it that God took the wall of Jericho down? How is it that God could take walls in your own life down? You know, I love to read about success stories. I love to read about history. I really enjoy reading things in history and things that take place, but something from a contemporary entrepreneurist caught my attention the other day as I was reading about it, and that was the story of Mary Kay Ash. And you would know her as Mary Kay, and of course, the production of cosmetics and stuff like that. But 26 years, she was a sales rep. And then after that, she decided that she was going to try out for the board. And she did try out for the board. And she became a board member of a very successful company. After being a board member for several years of that successful company, she decided to retire. But she got bored, because she was so busy all the time as being on the executive board of this very prominent company, that she decided she wanted to step out and start her own business. All the lawyers that was her friend and CEOs that was her friends, they decided that this is not a good investment. You're probably going to fall flat of your face. But her and her husband decided to take their life savings, which at that time was only $5,000, and they decided that they would start a business of cosmetics, and he was going to be the administrator, and she was going to be the one that would do all the packaging, all the selling, and all the marketing. 1 month before it was about time to open, and by the way, they did all this in their kitchen. 1 month before it opened, he dropped dead of a heart attack in the kitchen as they were preparing to be able to open the business. Still in September 13th, 1963, she launched the business, and today they have proceeds coming in annual sales of over $1 billion a year, over 4,000 employees, over 500,000 sales reps in over 30 markets worldwide. And it was simply because of somebody that simply said, there's a wall there and I'm going to overcome the wall. Now, by the way, that's from the business sense. But can I tell you that in our lives, you might not have a multi-million or billion-dollar company, but in your life, the same God that is able to help somebody to make a business a sense type of decision is the same God that can help you and I in our personal lives to be able to make those same type of common sense decisions. But can I tell you, it is going to take some things in your life in order to overcome walls. There was a man by the name of Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was a Major League Baseball player. On August the 6th, 1999, he was in Montreal. It was just a normal day for the people that were the attenders, but it was a sad day for him as he stepped up to the bat and he struck out for the 5,113th time. Now, by the way, if you strike out that many times, can I tell you, you just might feel like quitting and throwing away your bat. But here's what Tony did. Tony got it. By the way, I did some figuring on that. If you were to bat four times in a game, it would take eight seasons, and that would mean that he would have to strike out 1,278 games straight. Well, that's a wall. That's a wall. But he got up to the bat that day, and he did hit the ball, and that was his 3,000th hit for playing for the San Diego Pirates, and he hit that ball, and can I tell you that that is what he was known for. He wasn't known for all the strikeouts. See, here's what we do. We get what gets our attention as our failures. What gets other people's attention is your successes. You know, nobody, if you will, please, could see what type of walls that he had in his life, and nobody could see Mary Kay's walls that she had in her life, and nobody could really understand how the Israelites were thinking as they saw that massive exterior wall that they were facing, and they knew in order to be able to go over to the promised land, they had to overcome this walled city, all right? Now, can I tell you that there's walls that we face in our life, but God does have a key plan whereby you can overcome those individual walls. So, statement number one, Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Statement number two, Israel had a word from the Lord. Now, I love this because when you get a word from God, nothing else matters. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I have a friend the Bible talks about that sticketh closer than a brother. A person walking alone is a lonely trail, but when you walk alone with God, you and God becomes now companions, and the trail is not lonely anymore, but rather you can walk down that trail having victory in your life. So how is it that this took place? Look at Joshua chapter 6 as you're there in your Bible. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given, it says, into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." So he has a promise from God. So there was a word from the Lord. All right. So as he's facing this wall, he knows that, by the way, everybody else that would face that wall, they would look at it as being impregnable. They would look at it as being impossible. They would look at it as being such a massive structure that nobody else would be able to overcome, unpenetratable, if you will. But here's what he did. He looked at it and he said, okay, but I know something. And by the way, he knew something that perhaps nobody else understood at the time. Nobody else was able to accept at the time, but inside of his heart, he knew that God was for him. And by the way, if God be for you, then who can be against you? All right? And so here's what we understand. As he looked at that wall, he's viewing it different. I've been visiting people in the hospital and people have cancer. And can I tell you, when they understand that God is going to help them, when they understand that God, if you would please, is going to be able to work on their behalf, when they are trusting the great physician, or they understand that, yes, God is going to take me home, but heaven is better than this. And they understand that, there's a total different attitude. I remember many years ago that I was visiting a lady in the hospital and she had a heart attack, and I was doing my very best to make it to her bedside, and so I got there as quickly as I possibly could, and when I walked in the room, the very first thing she said is, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I came to see you." She said, "Why are you wasting your time coming in here to see me when there's so many people out there that are dying and going to hell? Go talk to somebody else, preacher. I love you. I believe in you, but I'm going to be okay." And she said, "Could we have prayer together?" And I thought, yeah, I'm going to pray. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to leave. And so I'm going to be that good preacher, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to leave. And so I prayed, and after I got done praying, she said, "Okay, let me pray." And when she prayed, she was thanking God for the cancer or the heart attack. She was thanking God for the problem. She was thanking God for the things that had come in her life. She was thanking God for her church. She was thanking God for this. She didn't need me to cheer her up. She had already had somebody that had visited her before I ever got there that was cheering her up, who was God. Amen. See, here you have to understand that these Israelites might have saw this totally different than Joshua. They might have saw it totally different. They might have saw it as a wall. And by the way, people might see your walls totally different than you see your walls. But as you approach your wall with God helping you, you can look at the wall and even the very structure of the wall as being something, oh, that's easy for God. Oh, God can easily take care of that. Oh, that's just nothing for God. By the way, the Bible asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, can I tell you, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in our affairs, we get so caught up in the challenges of this present world that we live in, and a rush type of society, and it just seems like that we hurry up to get there to do nothing because after all we forgot what we were supposed to do once we arrived. You know, or we're in a, you know, it's sort of like you hurry up, and you get there, and then you got to wait, then you got to hurry up, and get back, and you get someplace else, and you wait, and it seems like that it is a rapid type of lifestyle. But can I tell you that God is the one that can help with every single type of problem, every single type of hardship, every single type of wall? The Bible says over in Psalm 12 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." He says, "As tried, it says, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth seven times." Psalm 119 and verse 103, the Bible says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." It says, "Yea, sweeter than the honeycomb of my mouth." Over in Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" But it says, "By taking heed according to thy word." Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 24, the Bible says, thy testimonies also are the delight, and it says, and are my counselors. Psalm 119, verse 25, the Bible says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. It says, quicken. The word quicken simply means to be made alive. He says, thou me according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 32, the Bible says, I will run, it says, in the way of thy commandments. It says, when thou shalt enlargen my heart. Psalm 119 and verse 98, the Bible says, it says, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. It says, they are ever with me. Psalm 119 and verse 99, the Bible says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, thy testimonies, it says, are my meditations. In verse 100 of that same psalm, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I have kept thy precepts. Psalm 130 in that same psalm, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words are light. It says, it giveth me understanding unto the simple. Psalm 165 of that same text, the Bible says, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, he taught me also and said unto me, he says, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. All right? So as we face huge difficulties in our life, realize that you have a word from the Lord. You don't face anything that God cannot help you with. You don't face anything that God is not the one. God, if you will, please, if you're drowning in the ocean, God is the one that is going to be able to throw out the rope and be able to pull you into safety. If you're falling off the cliff, he's the one that's providing the parachute. He's the one that's providing the catch, a contraption that would catch you. Do you understand that God is the one? David said this. He said, I once was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen God's people forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. He said, the testimony of God lives on. He's true thoroughly through and through. He's there to help. He's there to comfort. He's there to encourage. Our problem is we have to rely on him. Amen. See, don't forget, it was not just Joshua that was facing the wall. Everybody else was facing the same wall. Everybody else was facing the same difficulty. I've never seen in all my life, and I said this the other day, I've never seen in all my life America change so quickly as America has changed. The same America that we live in today is not the same America that I lived in when I was a teenager. The same things that America stood for and the same things that America stood strong about are not the same things that America stands for nor even strong about today. What do you do? Here's what you can do. You can look at a wall and say, well, I might as well give up, sit down, suck my thumb, nothing I can do about it. Or you can say, there's got to be some things I can do, and God is the creator, and God is the one that knows what needs to be done, and God is the one that I can follow, and God has the answers, and God can lead me in the right direction. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get alone with God. And by the way, the creator God was and ever will be, but he was, think about it, long before America was ever thought of. So can I go to the Creator God and God help me and God guide me and God give me direction? Yes, I can. What's the benefit of that? God knows all, and God can be able to guide you, and God can. There is no difficulty, no problem. There is no things that we cannot understand that God himself cannot give you the answer to that which is right. But there was different groups looking at this wall. No doubt as the leader got up and said, hey, it's going to be okay, just keep walking. No doubt there was somebody in that group that said, you really think so, huh? Now, they didn't speak it. They just kind of followed along. And by the way, have you ever found this out? That most people just simply follow along. Most people do. Somebody said it's he who shouts the loudest that gets the most votes. Now that's a sad thing because we ought to be principle oriented and not personality driven. But please understand, we understand that here they had a word of the Lord. If you have the word of man and the word of the Lord, who's stronger? The word of the Lord. If you have a direction in which to go and man says this way, the Lord says this way, you always follow the word of the Lord. Statement number one, Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Statement number two, Israel had a word from the Lord. Statement number three, Israel had, I love this, a winning, willing, or a willing, winning partner. Now, it just wasn't the Lord. I want you to see everybody was intricately involved in this. Look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, and ye can pass the city. It says, all ye men of war. It says, and go round about the city once. It says, thus thou shalt do 6 days. So he's saying to all the men of war, here's what I want you to do. Joshua's speaking. He's got a word from God. God gives it to Joshua. Joshua gives it to the men. All right? He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around the city, ye men of war. Now, you're going to do that for 6 days, if you will. And you're going to do it once. Now, watch this in verse 4. The Bible says, and the seven priests shall bear, it says, before the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day it shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. He says, so he's giving definite, he's giving that which is specific instructions. By the way, when God told Noah to build the ark, he didn't say, go build an ark and figure it out for yourself. He didn't say that. When God gave you a wife or God gave you a husband, he didn't say, okay, go get married and figure it out for yourself. Amen. When all of a sudden you got children, God blessed you with children. God didn't leave you stranded. God didn't say, okay, now you got children, God bless you, just go figure it out. God didn't do that. God gave you an instructional manual. It's called the Bible. So what do? I get in the Bible and I say, okay, God, here's my opinion. Here's what you say. By the way, if my opinion lines up with God, super. My opinion doesn't line up with God, it's time to change my opinion. So here's what we understand. We see these Israelites coming, and they've got some willing winner type of partners that's in there that's leading them. They've got the men of war. They've got the seven priests. The seven priests are, of course, carrying that which is the ark, if you will. They're getting ready to blow the trumpet. Now watch this in verse 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass. It says, when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people. Now it's involving all the people. So it went from this, which was Joshua, to the men of war. To that which was the priest, and now it's coming down to all the people. So here we go. Let's go. Here we go. Ready? All right. So here's the Joshua. Joshua comes over here. Joshua turns around to the men of war, tells the men of war. Joshua turns around to the men that are getting ready to blow the trumpets. He's got all these people. Now, by the way, listen, and then there's all the other, come on, guys. There's all the other people. By the way, when you have a mass of people going the same direction, it's encouraging. So our church isn't important. Somebody's watching to see what the men of war would do. Somebody's watching to see what those that blow the trumpets will do. Somebody's watching what all the other people will do. And you got Joshua that is telling them what to do, a direction in which to go. Now, by the way, he wasn't just telling them to turn around and get in front of him. He wasn't just telling them what to do. He's getting ready to lead them. He's getting ready to lead them. And if ever today in America we need men to rise up and lead, it's today.
Amen.
If ever today in America we need a great host of people. Okay, here's what they're saying. They're saying in America today, a religion has declined. It's gone from 72% to something like 70% or something like that. It's on the decline, they say. Okay, but can I tell you, and being friendly and trying to be a help, doesn't have to be that way in your life.
Right.
Yeah, you can decide, you'll put God first. You can decide, hey, church is important. Hey, you know the reason that we got problems today among our young people is because they do not see their parents. You know why young people are not interested in church today? Because they have a mom and dad of years ago. Now they're adults. These adults that were young people years ago had a mom and dad that wasn't interested in church. And when you grow up in a home where a mom and dad is not interested in church, guess what? You learn not to be interested in church as well. So here's what you got. You got that which is the man of God. You know, he's going to lead. You've got the men of war. They're following in. You got those that's going to carry the ark, blow the trumpet, following in. And you got all the people.
Amen.
Come on. There was a preacher that was in this area many years ago. And he sometimes would get so entrenched of going to church, he would forget certain things. I remember hearing the story. And sometimes in the wintertime, he'd go out and start the car, leave the car running, go in, kind of take care of some things, letting the car warm up a little bit. And then he'd go out to get in, but he was so concentrating on the Bible, so thinking about the Bible. His neighbor always thought he was nuts because they would watch him. And many times he would come out, he was just so excited about preaching and so excited about meeting with his people. And sometimes he's just thinking so very much that, you know, he just lacked some practical common sense. And so sometimes he would come out and he'd open the back door and get in. And the neighbors would just look at him, just nod their head. And they'd call his name. Just couldn't believe, there he is. He's just doing that crazy stuff. There he is. And sometimes he'd get in his car. He'd get in on the wrong side. Oh, there he is again. One time it was ice and he went to open the door and he slid up underneath the car. There he is again. He'd pretend he was changing the oil or something so the neighbor watched. What am I saying? Neighbors are watching. I got a friend of mine, pastors in California, the mailman. He kept inviting the mailman to church. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Mailman said no. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Mailman said no. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Mailman said no. Mailman, on a big day, 3 years after a continual invitation to come to church, mailman said, yes, I'll come. But don't you want to know why I'm going to come? And he said, yeah, I want to know why you're going to come. He said, for 3 years I've delivered your mail, and I haven't found anything to discredit you. I've been looking to see what you've been reading, what you've been getting, what you've been receiving, and I haven't found one article of mail that would ever discredit what you say you are. Therefore, I'll come to your big day. And by the way, listen, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Oh, preacher, I'm just going to go to the bar to drink milk. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. You know, your testimony is very important. I believe the reason, number two, that a lot of young people that's now grown-up adults, they don't want to come to church. They have never seen God real in somebody else's life. Man, people come to church and they play. Hello? I say, you shouldn't preach this way on Sunday morning. People's not going to come back. Well, I'd rather people not come back, hear the truth, than leave here wondering about it. Man, I tell you what, preachers, just not, hey, wait a minute, are you listening to me? I'm saying this, there has to be a generation that takes God as who God is. There's got to be some young men that's going to rise up and say, look, I believe not in the same sex type of marriage thing. I believe in a wholesome, biblical, structured family based on the Bible. Amen. Now, somebody's got to set that. And it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court justice ruled. Somebody has to set the example. Somebody has to say, okay, now wait a minute, this is the Bible way. And by the way, you listen to me, the Bible way has always been the Bible way. So there has to be some churches and there has to be some people that's going to rise up. And you say, oh, it's not important, I go to church all the time. Somebody's watching you. Hey, don't let our country become like the country of England or other countries where you look into the church houses and the church houses are mostly empty with two or three people that's just sitting there. It doesn't need to become that way in America. Listen, you might have some big walls in your life and you might have some big challenges in your life, but God is able to help you to overcome those challenges. And you've got to decide that, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to take my faith and I'm going to put my faith in operation. Now, why? Because your kids need to see that. Your relatives need to see that. Amen. Your friends need to see that. They need to see that there's a group of people that's marching on to be able to believe God, and that God is the one that can help, and God is the one that can still answer prayer, and God is the one that can still come through, and God is still alive and well and on the throne, and there needs to be some people that arise up and just decide, yes, there's a wall, but that wall can come down. That's what people need to see. So there was somebody that believed it. Now, I don't know if everybody in that line that believed it or not.
Sure.
But at least they were going the right direction. You came to church today, here's what you did. When you showed up to church, you voted. Let's keep the church door open. When you gave your tithe today, you voted. Let's keep the buses running. Let's keep the missionaries on the field. When you showed up today and you carried your Bible, your children saw the importance of the Bible in your life. When you pay attention, though sometimes maybe in the message, I might give an illustration and you're trying to hang on to it and your eyes get heavy and your mouth begins to droop and your head begins to drape. Hey, kick yourself. Pinch yourself. Tell your wife, honey, you got permission to hit me if I'm not paying attention. Slap. Okay, never mind. Thank you. Be seated. If we will. Statement number one, Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Statement number two, have a seat, fellas. Statement number two, Israel had a word from the Lord. Israel, statement number three, Israel had some willing, winning partners. Look at verse 8, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says it came to pass. When Joshua had spoken, it says unto the people, it says the seven priests, this is bearing the seven trumpets, ram's horns, passed, it says, before the Lord and blew the trumpets and the ark of the covenant, it says, of the Lord followed them. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, and on the seventh time, verse 16, Joshua chapter 6, says, when the priest blew, it says, with the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you, get it, you, the city. Well, wait, what did all those people do? All they did was just walk around, shh, shh. You know, sometimes your actions do speak louder than your words. Sometimes it's the things you choose not to do that's the greater testimony than the things that you choose to do. So here they were, they're just walking around. That's all they're doing. They're just walking around, but then it came time, the moment is here. They can have their part. What's their part? Just shout. They didn't have to write a book. They didn't have to sing a song. They didn't have to join a choir. They didn't have to work in a nursery. They didn't have to work on a bus route. They didn't have to go to the mission field to become a martyr for Christ. Had to do one thing, just right at the right time. And by the way, there's always going to be a right time for you. And when you do your part at that right time, just that shout can bring down the wall in somebody else's life. Watch this, and I'm done. Here it is. You think about this. God will help you to destroy the walls. Now watch this. He'll help you to destroy the walls, but you have to decide not to rebuild them again. Here it is. Look at it. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, so the people shouted, it says, when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, and the other destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, ass, it says, with the edge of the sword. So what did they do? They were destroying the things that could be used again to rebuild the wall. See, it is one thing to take down or take out of your life these things that are incredibly damaging to you to be able to live that Christian life the way you should. That is a hindrance to you. That's a weight to you. That's a sin to you. But it's another thing to decide, I'm not going to put that back in my life. You know, D.L. Moody was a great American evangelist, and one day he was preaching, and it was a huge gathering of people. And so Moody oftentimes would try to enter into the building without much notice. And of course, it was hard not to notice Mr. Moody at this time in his life. He weighed close to 400 pounds, 382. And so it was hard not to notice such a robust man, such a huge man. It was just kind of hard not to notice. And so he would try still to go into different places, kind of unnoticed. He was a very humble man, I do believe, according to what I'm reading, until he reached the pulpit, then became a light and a fire for God. But I remember reading this story, and there was a huge gathering. And by the way, back then, they would not allow the children to come. The children were not allowed to come to some of these meetings, especially if they were held in the England area. They were not allowed to come. So the children were not allowed to come. Jam-packed house, 5,000-plus people in the house, all adults, no children allowed. Moody pulls up his carriage, and he walks down a lonely alleyway. And as he walks down a lonely alleyway, he hears something over in the corner, and he looks over in the corner, and there seems to be a little body, and he walks over to this a little bitty boy that is crunched down, and he's just bawling his eyes out. And the little boy said, "I came all this way. I live out in the gypsy camp, and I came all this way to hear Moody." And he said, I can't get in. I can't get in, and all I want to do is I want to hear Moody. I want to hear Mr. Moody." And Mr. Moody, of course, the boy not knowing who Mr. Moody is, he said, "I'll tell you what, I think I can get you in to hear Mr. Moody." He said, "If you'll just grab a hold of my coattail and just follow me." Now, here's Mr. Moody, 382 pounds. You're not going to see a little boy. And so he grabs a hold of the coattail of Mr. Moody, and Mr. Moody said, "Don't let go of the coattail no matter what." And he said, "I will get you the best seat in the house to hear Mr. Moody tonight." That little boy grabbed a hold of that coattail. Mr. Moody's walking. Of course, everybody's waving and shaking his hand and patting him on the back. The little boy had no idea. He's scared to death. And they just keep walking and walking and walking and walking. And finally, they get close to the front. Mr. Moody kind of walks up the steps. Mr. Moody takes the little boy and he says, "Hey, you can sit in this chair tonight." It was Moody's chair. He sat in that chair tonight, and he heard Mr. Moody preach, the only child in the entire auditorium. That night, hundreds of people came, as often did under the anointing preaching of Mr. Moody, and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Mr. Moody looked around after the service. The little boy was gone. Mr. Moody had preached a message that night on giving your all to the Son of God. He walked over to the chair and he looked in the chair, and in that chair was a little note written on a very browned type of paper with a penny involved. It said, "Dear Mr. Moody, thank you for the front row seat. I too receive Jesus tonight as my Savior. I give you now all that I have." A brown little penny. I cannot tell you, that's all God wants of us. God wants each one of us to give him all that we have. I don't know what God will ask out of you. I do know this. Out of the Israelites, he said, "Here's what I want you to do. On that seventh day, walk around it. Seven times. Walk around it. Don't say anything. But at the proper time, shout." And at the proper time when you shout, he said, "That wall, I've already given you the city, shall fall down flat." God's people better pay attention. Because I believe even though the nation is in a most distressful state right now, if God's children will pay attention, there's going to be a day I believe God's going to say, "I'll give it back to you. But you better be ready to shout when I tell you to. You better be ready to walk in place when I tell you to." Here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. You ready? Deuteronomy chapter 31, just two verses, I'm done. Verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Gather," it says, "the people together, men and women and children and stranger within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear God." The Bible says, "and observe all the words of this law." The Bible says in verse 13, "that their children may know." it says here that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord thy God, as long as they live in the land, whether they go over Jordan to possess it. He said, don't let the children be ignorant. Speak it so that they may know, so that they may know, and that they may hear, so that one day they can walk over as well to be able to possess it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.